This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Taste of some of these big guys coming out hitting them. Like, all right, you think you're going to run around our guy? How about if you get a little taste of Landon Dickerson coming right down your throat?
The throw to Ayuk inside, touchdown. Samuel leading the way. Ayuk comes inside of him.
There's nothing like a 9 o'clock hour on a Friday. Oh, my gosh, man. Good morning to everybody.
Isn't it sad we still laugh at those clips?
So stupid.
It's kind of sad.
They're so childish.
It really is.
You know, sometimes we're doing a broadcast and something comes out like one of these things and you're like, oh, somebody's going to get me in the morning on that. Oh, gosh.
I got a few of yours in there, but those two are my favorites.
Oh, listen, those are, and those two announcers are great.
You got to laugh a little because it's been a little bit of a dicey one the last few days.
And I'm sorry, man. I just literally yesterday had a completely different show. And then in the afternoon, the Tyreek Hill thing, and then follows up with a 911 call, which also always follows these domestic disputes around. And then everybody's got an opinion on it, right? And we got a guy that's going to join us coming up here, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. And he'll join us, and we'll get into it some more. Actually, it's a great time in sports. We got the Heat, the last spot in a play-in, and they're already promoting the play-in tournament before they get to the playoff tournament and see which two teams will come out of the play-in tournament to get into the playoff tournament. And then Paul Maurice is just trying to get his guys healthy and win games and get some guys some rest and cut back on their playing time. Last night, if you weren't watching, Verhaeghe got the rest. He had to play the other night when all his buddies got the rest. And trying to get everybody as healthy as possible before, man, this, as you know, playoff hockey, like every sport, they pick it up about 14 notches when they play in those games. And you watch a hockey game, you go, you can't play any harder. And then you're going, wow, it is a playoff game. It haven't seen this. I'm really curious, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Paul Maurice is going to join us, is expected to join us Monday. I am really curious. They play Tampa Bay the last game of the regular season. And I'm really curious to see what that's going to look like. They still have a chance to move up in these playoffs. I don't know how important it is to the coach because they've won, you know, a championship from the top, and they're at the bottom and damn near won another one, got the Stanley Cup, and now we'll try to make a run for a third one. And so we'll see what happens with all that stuff. Boy, the way Rory McIlroy, speaking of the Masters yesterday, and again, I love watching the Masters. There are certain things, and I don't like all the golf tournaments. A normal weekend of a tournament, I could care less about. But the Masters comes on, I'm in. I mean, I'm in. I feel like I know all the holes. I feel like the pressure of it, especially as we get to Saturday and then Sunday, and a guy's got a 2 or 3 stroke lead, and can you hold on to it? And you start thinking about it, and but Rory McIlroy was playing great through 14 holes. He was playing unbelievable. 4 under and ends up with 2 double bogeys in the last 4 holes. He looked like the rest of us. He did. He looked like the rest of us in those last four holes. Can't make that up. All right. We've got Mike Florio going to join us when we come back. We're going to get him all lathered up here this morning, get him fired up and ready to go. But before we do, to everybody out there that's been injured in an accident, injured at work, automobile accident, and you're looking around. You got all the TV commercials, you see them, and they're well produced, man. Come out there. And I want to tell you, there's a good chance all those people you see, none of them are going to represent you. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer, but I do know this. When you get Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah, the partners of Cohen and Judah, injury law firm, when you see them or hear their voice, they mean business. They shake your hand and they go, all right, where's the other attorneys are going to handle my case now? And I go, no, it's us. It's Harvey and Gary. We've been together, man. We're together like a fine marriage for more than 30 years. They've been together. They're in plantation, and they're ready to handle your case from start to finish. Just so you know, they handle everything. More than 30 years of experience, big enough to go to trial and get you multi-million dollar results, and small enough to just call you back. See, communication's important to them. You want updates on how your case is going, and you're hurting, and you could use the money and all those things. Harvey and Gary, you can always get a hold of them, even on a weekend. When Harvey told me they call back their clients on weekends to let them give them an update on how everything's going, see how they're doing, man, there's guys that care about you and damn good at what they do. Go to CohenandJudah.com, read the reviews, partners who you can always get a hold of, and I want to let you know this too. Go to 866-FAIR-FEE or go to CohenandJudah.com, call them. Find out more if you want to talk to them. And remember this, they don't pay other lawyers to do the work you hire them to do.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale. One location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441. Between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us. And then instead of us the last 2 days talking about the draft and the Miami Dolphins having a lot of draft picks, and Chris and Mike got to get this figured out. We got a lot of holes. We got to find some young guys to come in and play. We've been talking about Tyreek Hill and the 911 call, and I'm guessing Mike Florio has seen it all. Most of our fan base wants him out of here, wants him traded. They've had enough. He doesn't want to be here to start with. Now this, Mike, what are your thoughts?
Well, I've got plenty of thoughts. The reality the NFL is looking into this thing just makes it another issue. It's another complication. It's another distraction. And setting aside whether or not in any of the various instances where issues have arisen, Tyreek Hill has blame, there's a certain point where it's just too much. And this applies in any workplace. And think about it. We've all been there. We've all dealt with an employee who just causes too many problems and takes up too much of our time as managers, or we've been the employee who causes too many problems and takes up too much time of the supervisors. And at a certain point, the question becomes, is this worth it? And the answer is yes, as long as the employee is highly productive and performing at a very high level. The moment that slips, that's when you say, that's it. And I think it's pretty clear now. The instant that the Dolphins come to the conclusion that Tyreek Hill has lost even a half a step, he's gone. He's done. You do not continue that relationship. It's not worth it. The question is it after this year? Does it take two more years? I don't know. I don't know who would trade for him at this point, but I can't rule out the possibility that at some point during the draft, he gets moved. Because you never know what they're truly thinking until they do it. There's no benefit in telling the world, you know, we're thinking about trading this guy. That doesn't help anyone.
Right.
And they've said all the right things publicly because they have to. Because, again, it's not in your interest to tell the world, you know, we're pretty much at our wit's end with this guy. But I just think basic human dynamics, it's too many things. He's the common thread with all of these different controversies. And there's a certain point where any organization is going to ask itself, are we better off moving on from this employee?
Well, let me ask you, because I got a little bit of this today, too, which you're going to get, and it has been obviously the only topic here for the last 2 days. No arrests were made. The case has been closed. Why do you guys keep bringing it up? This stuff happens a lot. And you're picking on
Tyler. Doesn't happen a lot, though. I mean, are you saying it happens a lot with him?
Or no, happens a lot with athletes and others. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Now, here's where it's awkward, Joe. In 99% of the workplaces in America, this would not matter. What you do on your personal time is not your employer's business. And when I practiced law, I would counsel employers. You can't make decisions about people based upon things that happen away from work. But the NFL put in place this personal conduct policy, which legitimizes the question of whether or not you're going to keep someone who continuously has issues away from work. And even if it's never his fault, I remember with Pac-Man Jones in 2007, eventually the NFL threw its hands in the air and suspended him for a year, even though none of the various arrests stuck to him. Just the fact that you've had these interactions with police that many times, and there's been a question as to whether or not you did something you shouldn't have done that many times, there's a certain point where we have to do something. And so, you know, look, who knows? It could happen any given day, but I've never had the police show up at my house.
No, me neither.
I mean, it's not something that happens to hey, you know, whoa, you're just minding your own business. The police show up. Unless somebody, you know, that swatting thing where they have people show up at your house and it's all a setup. So it's this and it's that. And look, as long as he's a great player, they're going to keep him. Now, last year's numbers weren't great. Was it his fault? I don't know. But we're getting to the point in his career where you have to wonder, is the drop-off coming? And do you want to move on from him before the drop-off comes? Do you want to wait for the drop-off? What do you want to do? How do you want to do it? He's still the best player on the team, objectively. I think that's a fair thing to say.
No, he is. We agree.
But there's a point where it's better for the team to not have that player on it. It's better for the culture. You know, you got a bunch of people who end up having to make excuses for him. But remember after he said that he thinks he should leave Miami following, how can you forget, following the regular season finale. There was a stream of guys on the locker cleanout day. And they sent out the transcripts. Every guy that spoke was asked about Tyreek Hill's comments. And they all engaged in the verbal gymnastics to say positive things about Tyreek Hill because he's the best player on the team. And there's a point where it's just not worth it to the culture, to the spirit, to the soul of the organization to continue to make excuses for a guy who continues to put himself and the team in compromising situations. And again, the case was closed. That's fine, but it's just another example. And there's a point where it wears on the soul and the mind of the people involved in having to run interference for one guy who keeps causing these issues.
You know, it's funny because before this happened, they were talking about Tyreek Hill, is he happy? And there's been trade rumors that he's still involved with, even though Mike has said he's coming back, he's going to be my wide receiver and all those things. And they said, is there any way to keep him happy? And I go, yeah, feed him a lot of footballs. Make sure you're giving him a lot of targets. Throw him down the field like you did the first 2 years, and he'll be as happy as can be. I don't even know if he's concerned about the record. He'll be as happy as can be with seven catches, 140 yards in a game, and a couple of touchdowns.
I agree with you completely. Look, I believe at the core in Kansas City, I think why and how it fell apart was during the 2021 season, Rams receiver Cooper Kupp was on a torrid pace, and he nearly broke he nearly broke the single-season reception record and the single-season receiving yardage record. And I think Tyreek Hill saw what he was doing, and he thought, if he can do it, I can do it. I want the ball. And he still had career-high targets and catches in 2021, but I think he had it in his brain, if I'm ever the guy, and, you know, he was kind of in the shadow of Mahomes and Kelce in Kansas City, I want to be the guy. If I'm the guy, I can get 2,000 yards. And remember, that was the big goal in 2023,
right?
And it looked like he was going to make it. So there is a lot of self that's involved here. He's already got a Super Bowl ring, so that's not driving him at this point. And there aren't many guys who have one ring who are just, like, tormented by the desire to have a second one. The goal is to get one, and he's got his one. And I think that he's more motivated by his statistics and his fame and his notoriety. And I think that's what caused it to fall apart for him in Kansas City, that and money. And yeah, that's the issue now in Miami. And is it getting in the way of the broader goals of the team? He's been there 3 years now. In the 3 years he's been gone from Kansas City, they've been to three Super Bowls and won two of them. What have the Dolphins done in the 3 years he's been there? And yes, he's an exciting player to watch, and he's still the best player on the team, and he's one of the most dangerous receivers in the NFL. But there's a point where it's not worth it anymore, and the Dolphins are the best ones to decide when and where that moment arrives.
Mike, when the team finally says something about this, whether it's from the top or Chris Greer or even Mike McDaniel, I'm really curious to see what their take and what their spin is after the season, and he had quit in the game and said he wanted out and all that stuff, and they came out and said they had a nice talk with him, and it sounded like they just went in and just hugged each other or something. So I'm really curious to see what is said about this last incident.
Well, it's possible it's the thing that finally gets one of these guys to say, I've had enough. Now, at the end of the day, people are taking their cues from Stephen Ross, the owner of the team. And even though most owners will say, I never tell my football people what to do, no, but it isn't all that hard to let them know what your preferences are. Well, one of the privileges of being a multi-billionaire is you never have to tell anyone what to do. The people who work for you and hope to keep working for you will figure out your cues and the clues, and they'll know what they need to do. And if Stephen Ross isn't ready to admit that this is a mistake and they need to move on, then the guys who work for Stephen Ross aren't going to do it. And this is one of the realities, Joe. And look, I know some fans get upset when we point this out, in part because there isn't a damn thing the fans can do to change it. When the owner's not in the building every single day, the owner isn't quite as aware as everybody else is what a pain in the ass one given employee can be, because he's not there every day to live it. And if he was living there every day, if he was walking through the building every day, if he was feeling the vibe in the building every day that one guy who keeps getting into issue after issue after issue can create on the organization, on the culture of the organization, he might feel differently. But I don't think anything's happening until Stephen Ross says enough that Chris Greer and or Mike McDaniel and or anyone else can come to the conclusion that the boss is okay with us pulling the plug on the Tyreek Hill experiment.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I had a whole bunch of things, man. We had to spend some extra time on this, though. Deshaun Watson said he's got something to prove. Do you think he even plays again? Does he get another chance that we see him take one more snap as a quarterback in the NFL?
Well, he's going to have to be willing. And there are parallels here to Colin Kaepernick. I know that certain people get triggered anytime his name comes up. We forget, I think many conveniently forget, that he was a pretty damn good quarterback at one point. He was so good that Ron Jaworski created a whole week-long news cycle on ESPN because he declared there's a chance he could be the greatest of all time back in 2013. But once you're out for a while, if you're going to get back in, you're going to have to accept spot number two or spot number three on the depth chart. Will Deshaun Watson do that? Would he come back and join a team as a backup for the veteran minimum? Would he come back and compete with one or two others for playing time or compete to just have a job? Is he willing to humble himself? And when you see what he said now, and I always laugh when someone takes motivation from the fact that outsiders correctly observe the current quality of the performance of the player. Like, how dare you point out that I'm not very good anymore? But he's not very good anymore. The last we saw him play at a high level was in 2020. By the time he's healthy to play again, it will have been 6 years since he played at a high level. That's a lot to come back from. But, Joe, I think what happens is, at the right time from a cap management standpoint, the Browns will release him. And then the question becomes, will someone else give him an opportunity? No one's going to say, here, come be our starter. He's going to have to go ground floor, league minimum, work his way up, prove himself, humble himself, earn every opportunity. And if he is saying, I am going to prove that I'm even better than I was before. That isn't the thing that's going to get a team to say, yeah, we'll give him a spot on the depth chart because he knows where he fits in relation to the rest of the team.
Yeah. Mm. Shador Sanders, I can't. I've watching all these shows. Mike, I've listened to everybody. Everybody's all over the board like never before on a first-round pick or expected to be the second quarterback taken in this draft. You have a feel at all from people you respect, including a guy you work with and his father, on how good Shador Sanders and where he's going to go and how good he's going to be?
We've been talking about this a lot on PFT Live because obviously quarterbacks drive the conversation, and the value of finding a franchise quarterback is tremendous for an organization. And this is the reality. Every pick that you take in the draft, especially in round one, is a lottery ticket. Certain lottery tickets have a bigger payoff than others. And you get a franchise quarterback, you're willing to take the risk that maybe he's not going to be a franchise quarterback because where else are you going to find one? So quarterbacks get overdrafted all the time. 2011, pick number 8, Jake Locker. Pick number 10, Blaine Gabbert. Pick number 12, Christian Ponder. Are you kidding me? So Shador Sanders is good enough to get drafted in round one. He's better than those three. The question is which team is going to be the one to do it, and is it going to be a spot where he can flourish and thrive? That's the key. We overlook, because people treat the draft like it's this mystical exercise, like the sorting hat in Harry Potter, where it's all predetermined, it's all written. No, you've got bad teams that absorb a player who, no matter how good the player is, it's going to be hard for him to play well because
right.
It's a bad team.
It's a bad team
with bad supporting cast and bad front office and bad ownership. Look at the Jets with Sam Darnold and Geno Smith. They go on to their second, third, fourth stops, and they finally become stars. So I think that's part of it too. But I think realistically, the window opens at 9 to the Saints, and all the major betting sites have the Saints as the favorite, whatever that means. Take that for what it's worth. It's not worth much. It's just a reflection of where people are putting their money. It opens at 9 to the Saints, and I think as a practical matter, it closes at 21 to the Steelers. And the Steelers brought him in for a visit, and the Steelers don't play these games with misdirections and smoke screens. If they bring you in for a visit, they're interested in you. And if somebody leapfrogs the Steelers to take Shador Sanders, so be it. They'll deal with it, and they'll take somebody else at number 21. But I think that's the action area. From 10 to 20, I think if he makes it past the Saints, will somebody trade up to get him to get in front of the Steelers? Is there somebody else lurking like the Rams? You know, last year the Rams were putting out the messages like they were looking for a quarterback in round one when they weren't. This year they're putting out the messages they're not. Maybe they are. Matthew Stafford's in a year-to-year arrangement. That could be a fascinating connection between Sean McVay and Shador Sanders. So, you know, he's probably going to slide, but he's probably better off if he slides.
Yeah.
It's better off for him to fall and go to a better team than to get picked by one of the teams that are just currently dysfunctional and have been dysfunctional. Browns, Giants, Jets. You don't want that if you're Shador Sanders. And I think Deion Sanders was considering a year ago basically making the Eli Manning, Archie Manning power play. But I think Deion realized the draft is too big. If you dare to push back against the draft, you end up putting Shador in a tough, tough spot. So maybe they're going to work behind the scenes and maybe they're going to engineer this just right. So he ends up with a good team in a good spot, a contending team, and he can, whatever his ceiling is, he can get there unimpeded by having a bad organization around.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I can't wait. It's part of the great story of what makes this first round so enjoyable and so popular right now. Mike, thank you. Really appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Joe, have a good weekend, buddy.
You too. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joining us this morning. Hey, by the way, we're not done. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here, but I want to take a second because we got baseball going on. Nationals are in town for the first of three tonight. They're going to be back to play your Marlins. And by the way, Arizona in town Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Burger and beer, Friday game ticket, that's tonight. Smash Burger, one craft beer, all great prices on that. Go to marlins.com/offers and check it out. By the way, they got a lot of great giveaways and some really cool nights. Venezuelan Heritage Night, April 12th. Sunday's a great one for the kids, man. Really is. Sunday Scooby-Doo party, exclusive Marlins Scooby-Doo jersey. They have the kids' bucket hat giveaways as well. Just go to marlins.com/giveaways. You want to do something and make it even more enjoyable for the kids besides a baseball game,
Boy, they got great giveaways all season. So just check it out. Go to Marlins.com/giveaways. First to three tonight, Nationals and Marlins.